One also sees the Italians, like the Germans, newcomers to national statehood, claiming Libya in 1912, and also coastal Somalia. The great colonial power of the past, and certainly the greatest of this period as well, Great Britain, was also heavily involved, but in a curious way, Britain's involvement in this new round of imperial expansion, of colonization, was almost reluctant. I say almost reluctant in the sense that Britain, obviously, there's a great deal of enthusiasm for empire. It is the great age of the British Empire. It is the British Empire at its pinnacle. And yet, much of what the British would achieve between the mid-80s and 1914 was in response to pressures from the other colonial powers. Britain would occupy Egypt and the Suez Canal in 82, 85, the Sudan also in the 1880s, Rhodesia, North and South Rhodesia in 1889. The British were also, of course, involved all over the globe, in India, which was the real jewel in the crown of the British Empire. So much of British imperial policy is based on maintaining access to India. One can look at Suez in this regard. One can look at South Africa in this regard. Singapore in the east, the Malaya and Burma in the Far East. The French, of course, in 1884 would become heavily involved in Indochina, creating a colony there. China, although technically maintained a distinct government, the European powers claimed special privileges and staked out areas of China, Tsingtao in German, for the Germans, Shanghai for Great Britain, the Russians maintaining claims to Manchuria. How was this imperialism, aside from the geography of it, different than what had come before? Why isn't this just a kind of continuation of a longer pattern of European expansion? We've already mentioned the geographical consideration. One way that this is different was that there was a new form of subjugation involved. Europe was at the height of its technological superiority. It was the center of world financial, technological, and military power and influence. And the Europeans would bring to bear the great advantages that they possessed in technology to the rest of the globe. Advances in the construction of ships, metal-hulled ships, meant that bigger ships that could carry bulk cargoes for long distances were certainly present. Communications had been vastly improved so that it was easier to maintain links between far-flung colonies and the metropole. For example, underwater telegraph cables had been laid in by 1885 between London and South Africa and between Paris and French West Africa. The modern steamship also dramatically reduced oceanic travel time, reducing a trip from Liverpool to Cape Town from 3 months to about 3 weeks in the 1880s. And also, this technology, the metal-hull steamship, made exploitation of the hinterlands possible. I think this is extremely important. In the past, outside of North America, much of European colonial or imperial involvement had been around the coastlines of territories. But with the creation of metal-hull steamships, access to the lakes and rivers inland proved much easier. It was now possible to steam upriver. Second, the use of quinine, development of quinine, made malaria less a problem for the Europeans, and hence Europeans were able now to press deep into the tropical rainforest, which in the past had been a real obstacle for them. Military technology had also changed, and changed in a way that dramatically increased the ability of the Europeans to assert their will in Africa and elsewhere.